The Cannon Mess at the Metrodome. And the crowd is starting to move in now and to occupy these blue seats. The whole look of this place is bright. I don't know about the psychology of color, but I know that blue is one of my favorite colors. And all of the seats in this double-deck stadium are blue. Sort of a little, about a midnight blue. And the entire field is a green, a grape green is what I'd call it. And the sky, the top of the dome, is gray. But it is not a battleship gray. It is not a depressing gray. And as people move in here, you can feel the electricity of this opening night event. For one thing, the acoustics here are marvelous. I mean, if this game gets hot tonight and the crowd gets into it, you're going to hear them, you're going to feel them. And I know once Viking football starts, at excruciating moments when the Vikings are trying to pull a victory out in the last 2 minutes during the two-minute drill and Tommy Kramer is throwing the ball to Teddy Brown, Ahmad Rashad, and people like that, you are going to hear a constant din here. And it's going to be exciting. And it should intimidate opponents, especially in football. We're concerned with baseball tonight. The opening game for the Minnesota Twins against the Seattle Mariners. The opening night festivities will start at 5 to 7, culminating in the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner by Pearl Bailey. And then the opening pitch at 7:35. And you're there on this historic night on WCCO, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Yep. The Cannon Mess at the Dome. We're on location. Let's grab a traffic report for the folks that are driving into the Dome for tonight's baseball game. Here's Dino's friend.
Very good, Steve. We are getting reports that there's quite a bit of parking space left in the downtown area west of the Dome. The shuttle buses are running. They began running, as a matter of fact, earlier than scheduled. And the parking spaces are running pretty good as far as in the western portion of downtown. I got a phone call, and I understand that it was reported on somebody else's radio station that there were plenty of parking spaces within a block or two of the Dome. And we've been telling people not to park there, and we were asked why. I will explain briefly why. Those meters are hooded. That is restricted parking. Many of those meters have been changed to a 15-minute time limit. If you're going to use a meter, you're going to have to check it very carefully. If it's hooded, you may not park at it. And we suggest you park in the public lots or ramps downtown. Sergeant Greg Dolan of the Minneapolis Police Department informs us about 10 minutes ago the handicap parking on Chicago Avenue in front of the Dome, that's Chicago Avenue, 4th to 6th Street, is full. This is as of about 10 minutes ago. The handicap parking in front of the Dome is full. The Minneapolis Police suggest you park in the St. Anthony ramp on 2nd Avenue North. They are running a shuttle bus. It is equipped for the handicap, complete with wheelchair lift from the St. Anthony ramp to the Dome. That bus is free. 3rd Street seems to be our biggest problem right now downtown, Steve-O, as far as both cars and pedestrians. It's really getting bottled up. Also, Washington Avenue up by the freeway viaduct. Although our worst problem near the Dome right now appears to be 3rd Street and 9th Avenue. And the police having quite a time there. You would do well to avoid that area. Come in from the south and west end of downtown. Park your vehicle there. Take a shuttle bus in.
All right, thank you. You know, it's 17 in front of 7 on CCO, 32 degrees. Snow tomorrow. Here in the Dome, it's 72 degrees. The University of Minnesota Marching Band that will perform in the festivities prior to the game tonight are setting up a football field. They're putting down the markers and the rest of it, and you'll get the feeling of what it'll seem like when you watch Viking football out here next fall. And they will be performing a little later on. We will have a pitcher speak to us in about 1 minute who has perfected a pitch called the Democratic Party pitch. And we'll talk to her after this. We're at the Dome. It's opening night. Throwing out the first pitch tonight, as I say, is a veteran chucker, formerly out of the minor leagues in Waverly, Minnesota. Now elevated to the big time, the bigs, here in Minneapolis, St. Paul with the Twins. Muriel Humphrey Brown will throw out the first pitch tonight in the Hubert Humphrey Metrodome, named after her late husband. And you will throw that famous pitch, the Democratic Party pitch, right, Muriel?
Yeah, and I just better watch out that it isn't a Democratic curve.
Yeah.
Somebody better throw a Democratic curve pretty soon.
You think so, huh? Well, we're going to keep this broadcast apolitical. Okay, Muriel?
I always do.
No, I know.
You know I do that.
How's your arm?
Oh, it's in good shape. I've been practicing.
There.
Mm-hmm.
You're living out near Minnetonka now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Kind of get out there and throw some snowballs?
Oh, Lordy. It's just about gone. Thank goodness it's gone.
Well, is this your first trip in here to the Metrodome tonight?
It's the first time I've seen it with the dome up, and it's so exciting. It's so thrilling. I just can't believe it. I've got goosebumps going up and down. It's, to see it, a beautiful accomplishment like this. It took so long and took so many people and so many discussions but everybody took part in it, and that's the important thing.
If your husband, Hubert Horatio Humphrey, were living, and certainly he was a man with a gift of tongue, what do you think would have been his verbal expression tonight as he looked at this dome?
Well, I think he'd have been writing a speech right about now to give here. Well, I don't know. I have thought about it all day long. I am at such an excited pitch. You can't believe it. I think it exemplifies so much of what he cared about for his cities and the state and the country. And the people that he loved so much, you know, this is just a goal that would have satisfied him. And to have this great dome named after him is a tremendous gift of love for him.
Right.
And I just want everybody to know that I know what it means, and I appreciate it so much.
Memorial Humphrey Brown. I want to thank you for appearing on our WCCO air. I know you've got to go down to the bullpen now. You got to pick up the rosin bag. You got to warm up your arm for that opening pitch tonight.
Mm-hmm. So I don't throw a hip out of joint.
No, you don't want to come up with a sore arm.
No.
You've got some fishing to do at Lake Minnetonka.
Right.
So thank you for being our guest.
Steve, do you see all those kids gathering out there, that beautiful university band that's going to perform?
Yes.
Aren't we privileged? Aren't we lucky to be here and able to see it and see it all happening in front of us?
We are. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Muriel Humphrey Brown, the wife of Hubert Humphrey, the man whom the Metrodome is named after. And you're on a cannon mess. It's 12 minutes before 7 on WCCO. It's 32 degrees. Let's hear this. It is 9 minutes now before 7 on CCO. It's 32 degrees. Our low tonight will be around 18 degrees. Tomorrow's at 35. Snow beginning tomorrow afternoon. 1 to 3 inches of new snow before it ends Thursday night. Colon and rectal cancer. It is one of the most common, least talked about forms of cancer. It kills some 900 people in Minnesota a year. Often it can be cured if it's found and treated in time. You have to know the symptoms and when to seek medical help. The American Cancer Society is looking for volunteers to set up and lead public information meetings where the public can learn more about colon and rectal cancer. If you're interested, call the American Cancer Society, 871-2111. This is a public service message from WCCO Radio and the American Cancer Society. We'll get you another traffic report from Vino Spratt in a second or so, but first of all, on a can of mess, I must mention that on sale at Budget Power now are Swan Tub Walls. Swan Tub Walls are made of smooth, durable, three-piece molded fiberglass. Just $129.95 in white, with all installation materials included. And also save on Swan shower bases with drain and strainer for just $49.95.
Yes, and I was out at the little can at the Budget Power yesterday with my brother Maurice and my sister Ramona, and she was looking at them vanities out there with the cultured marble gloves. They got them marked down something like 40%. I think that's a good deal.
It's true, and that paint is on sale too. Did you notice that, Maurice?
Yes, Maurice bought some paint. He's going to paint the shed if the snow ever goes away by July.
Okay. Ma, have you been to Budget Power lately?
Oh, honey, whenever I'm in a snit, I go to Budget Power and just shop around, look for bargains, and they're so helpful at Budget Power. All of the clerks can tell you what you have to do to be a great do-it-yourselfer.
Wonderful. Let's shake it up. At Budget Power, we're open Sundays. We honor your credit cards. Let's go now and get a traffic report from Dino Spratt. Dino, you've got about a minute.
I am with you. You're getting drowned out by some of the radios here locally, but the traffic seems to be moving very well on the freeway system coming into downtown, although it is reportedly, according to the State Patrol, quite heavy coming in inbound Highway 12, inbound 35W as well, but moving along very nicely. Everybody is apparently well prepared for their trip to the Dome, has handled things very well. The stadium people told me earlier today they expected about 20,000 of the 55,000 people were coming in on buses. There were something in the order of 300 charter buses, which is an awful lot of buses coming in for this first game. Parking seems to be going very, very well at this time. The shuttle buses are running an awful lot of pedestrian traffic. And again, that's where our biggest bottleneck seems to be right now is the pedestrians coming into the Dome on the major streets coming to the Dome, particularly 3rd Street. But so far, everything looking very, very well. Things are a bit slow moving in the downtown area. You're going to have to allow yourself some extra time, but you should not have any problem finding parking spaces downtown in the public lots and ramps west of the Dome. The shuttle buses are running very frequently. They're running into the Dome on 4th, 6th, 8th, and 10th Streets. And the shuttle bus routes are marked, so just watch for those, and you should have no problems.
All right, Dino, thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. We're going to be back with an extended half hour of the Cannon Mess after we bring in Dan Rather. Yes, sir, it's the Cannon Mess. It's 11 minutes past 7 here at CCO. 32 degrees and all is mayhem here in our CCO booth. As Herbie Carneal and his son, Frank Quillacy, have moved in here with their producer, Jack Douglas, and things are just going crazy in here. I mean, I would think that Quillacy, who is a professional Italian, would not bring up some used-over ravioli from luncheon and eat it here in front of us, Morgan.
I'd say one thing for Quillacy. He had the bad hands when he played baseball, and he's got the bad appetite now that he's retired.
That's true. Well, we have with us here also our meteorologist on at Cannon Mess, Michael Lynch, to give us an update on the weather.
Okay, Steve. Well, for the Twin Cities, clear to partly cloudy tonight. A few more clouds coming in after midnight. Our low should be 18. Then tomorrow we have a winter storm watch in the afternoon. Generally, we're expecting about 1 to 3 inches of light snow tomorrow afternoon. Snow should continue tomorrow night and then end sometime on Thursday. Our high tomorrow will be 35, low tomorrow night about 23, and a high Thursday about 38. Currently, winds are from the northwest at 9 miles an hour. We have clear skies and 30 degrees.
All right, Michael, 30 degrees in the Twins. Outside, inside here at the Dome, it's 72. And it's 12 past 7. Eric Escala, the scarf, has been our peripatetic wanderer all through the Dome this afternoon from 3 o'clock out on the Cannon Mess. And he has Pearl Bailey with us now. Pearl's going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Eric?
Pearl Bailey, welcome to the Twin Cities.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be here. Look at this gorgeous stadium. Gorgeous.
How often do you sing the national anthem at these kind of events?
Well, now, let's see. I started looking at baseball at 8 years old, so let's go back. Which is older, the anthem or myself?
What? Where do you go from here? I know you got a busy schedule coming up.
Right now, out on the field and sing it. Right. Okay.
Good luck.
I'm so glad.
Earl Bailey going out to sing the national anthem right now, Steve.
All right, Eric, thank you. They're introducing Pearl Bailey. We'll be back in seconds, but first of all, we've got some business to take care of. This is Cannon back at the Dome at a quarter past 7, and the crowd is being introduced to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Club. The University of Minnesota Marching Band has formed some lettering out there, and Morgan, can you tell me what that is?
It says Twins, dummy.
Oh, that's what it says. Sure, I haven't got my bifocals.
You got to get glasses. They have spelled out Twins out there. I mean, it's a terrific spectacle.
It is. 30 degrees in the Twins right now. Pearl Bailey is going to sing the national anthem as we get closer to game time. Sellout crowd here at the Dome for the beginning of the American League Baseball season. for the Twinkies. We've talked to a plethora of Twins players and officials today, and they are all imbued with baseball's marvelous philosophy at the start of each and every season. No matter how ill-equipped or how greatly you're equipped to pursue the pennant, the philosophy is optimism. Optimism. We can do it. Look out for us. Don't underestimate us. And that's how the Twins feel about this upcoming season. Whether this is a philosophy that has holes in it, we'll have to wait and see. The smart money would tell you that the Twins are being over-optimistic.
Well, that's fine. Let them be over-optimistic. They've got a lot of young kids. They're playing in a magnificent edifice, and I think it's going to inspire them to do better things. I really do. No matter. It's going to be an interesting season. Folks will come out here. They'll see this dome. They'll be proud of what they see, I think, whether they're baseball fans or dome fans or whatever, because it is a reality, and you might as well accept it.
All right, Mark. 17 past 7 on CCO. 30 degrees. Snow tomorrow. We just can't do away with this wintertime. High tomorrow will be somewhere in the vicinity of 35 degrees. By morning, when you get up to Roger Erickson and that whole crowd on CCO radio, the low will be 18. The snow will begin tomorrow afternoon. It will continue through Thursday. And it should clear up on Friday, hopefully, and we'll get a high of around 38 to 39. I want to pause 60 seconds for this message. At 7:19 here at the Dome on WCCO, right below our WCCO real radio sports booth, is Tom Mee, the venerable Minnesota Twins press representative. And he has just, well, he's still in the process, I should say, of introducing the Seattle Mariners. The most notable of the Mariners is Richie Zisk, the slugger, who came to the Mariners from the Chicago White Sox via the Pittsburgh Pirates of the National League. The Twins have yet to be introduced, but when they are, they will be coming out of a different dugout than you're used to seeing them if you're a longtime fan at the Met Stadium. The Twins came in those days out of the first base dugout. They will now be coming out of the third base dugout, as it were, from the Met. Okay, we've finished with the introductions of the Mariners, and now we're going to do the Minnesota Twins. Even now, in our WCCO Real Radio sports booth, Herbie Carneal and his father, Frank Quillacy, our two broadcasters, are delving into the many statistics that they'll be throwing your way. Quillacy, of course, renowned around the American League for his stories about the inside of baseball, the inside, the clubhouse. He'll be giving you those stories as Herbie does his play-by-play, and Frank, of course, does play-by-play also. It's a great group. You take them along with you. We're going to do a little theme behind me now as we sign off the Cannon Mess for this Tuesday night. It has been grand to be here with everybody helping out today. John Quick produced. That's old JQ. Hal Shark was on hand here as our sports booth engineer. And I want you to stay tuned now for the pregame show that's coming up here in a matter of seconds with Herbie Carneal and Frank Quillacy. It's baseball at the Dome finally. We've waited a long time for this. We're indoors tonight. And it's 30 degrees outside and 72 inside of the Dome. And until tomorrow, this is the idol of the airwaves, the king of the killer cycles. This is Cannon from the Dome.
Minnesota at the Metrodome. The 82 Twins on CCO. Brought to you by Midwest Federal Savings and Loan Association. Midwest Federal, at the sign of the good tree to come to for shelter. Midwest Federal, serving with strength and stability for over 91 years. by the Pabst Brewing Company, brewers of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, the real taste of beer. By Chevrolet and your local Chevy dealer. Like baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie, Chevrolet is an American favorite. And by your fast, fair, and friendly Farmers Insurance agent. And now with the leadoff man, here is Sid Hartman of the Minneapolis Tribune.
Our leadoff man, Billy Gardner, manager of the Minnesota Twins. Peter Redfern, your starting pitcher here in just a few minutes against Seattle. How well has Redfern done this spring?
This spring he pitched well, Sid. I think the Pirates, he won his five innings, and hopefully today that he can give us six or seven good innings, and we'll have the bullpen ready if he weakens or if the opposing club starts hitting him. But hopefully today he'll give us six or seven innings, Sid.
Last year he finished up strong. I think he won four or five ball games in a row. Does he look like as good a pitcher as he did last year?
He sure does, Sid. Actually, I think another year experience should help. He knows the league more. He knows the hitters better. He finished good, and hopefully starting today, this carries over through the whole season for him.
Has he got any new pitches? You and Padre's worked on any new pitches with him?
Well, Padre's been working a changeup with him, and he's developed pretty good. He still doesn't have command of it, but during spring training, he threw a lot of good changeup, had good motion on it, and with his fastball and other breaking pitches, his changeup will be an asset to him.
Are you going with your same batting order you used in the same lineup against the Phillies?
Well, Sid, I think today we're going to open Eisenrich in center field hitting first. Second base will be Wolfram hitting second. Right field will be Engel hitting third. Shortstop will be Smalley hitting fourth. Hitting fifth will be Herbeck, our first baseman. Hitting sixth will be Gaddy, our third baseman. Hitting seventh will be Ward. Weininger, eighth. Hatcher, ninth.
Hatcher, your DH, then, huh? Do you think that's a good spot for him?
Well, I'm just looking. He runs good, and we got two left-handers following him, and Wolfgang and Eisenwright, and I want to get some going down the bottom of our lineup because Hatcher runs well, and I can do more with the two kids coming up and back.
More from Billy Gardner of the Twins right after this word. Our leadoff man, Billy Gardner of the Minnesota Twins, Ken Herbeck, had two home runs the other night against the Phillies. He tied Harmon Killebrew's home run record for spring training nine. You think Herbeck's for real now?
Well, Sid, I've seen him hit the ball well in the last 2 weeks of spring training. And the other night here in the Dome, he hit two balls well against the Phillies. But starting today, hopefully, he keeps doing it.
How about the left-handed pitchers? You think they'll give him trouble?
No, he faced a few in spring training. He hangs in pretty good on him. But, you know, today, Bannis is going to pitch against us, and he's pretty tough.
You're listening to WCCO, St. Paul in Minneapolis. And now, with the play-by-play, here are Herb Carneal and Frank Quillacy.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
Good evening to you from the Hubert Humphrey Metrodome in downtown Minneapolis. We're about set to open the 1982 Championship American League Baseball season.
And I'm sure that everybody, as we came on the air, recognized the wonderful voice of Miss Pearl Bailey singing our national anthem. We've got a gala pregame show. The University of Minnesota Marching Band is just now leaving the field. It's a sellout crowd here, and what a spectacle this is to see every seat taken here in the Metrodome. Some 55,000 fans who will see the Twins and the Seattle Mariners ring open the curtain here on the 1982 season. Our producer is Jack Douglas. Our engineer is Hal Sharden with Frank Quillacy. This is Herb Carneal. The Mariners and the Twins tonight starting a three-game series. It'll be Pete Redfern, who came on strong to win his last five decisions of last season, ending up 9-8, going for the Twins, who will have 11 new faces on the ball club as compared to the team that opened last season. And for the Mariners, they have even more changes. 15 new faces on the Mariner ball club. A new manager, Rene Latchman, who, like Billy Gardner, came on as a manager of the Mariner ball club after the start of last season. Tonight, he will go with a left-hander, Lloyd Bannister, who last year won 9 and lost 9 for Seattle. So the pregame ceremonies, with the exception of the throwing out of the first ball, have been all taken care of now. We're going to get the starting lineups right now and the batting orders from Frank Quillacy.
Thank you, Herb, and good evening, everybody. Here's tonight's lineup for the first game in the new Hubert Humphrey Metrodome. For the Seattle Mariners, batting first, playing second base, number 6, Julio Cruz. Cruz at second. Batting second at third base, number 12, Manny Castillo. Castillo at third. Batting third in left field, number 23, Bruce Bochy. Bochy in left. Batting cleanup for the Mariners, the designated hitter, number 22, Richie Zisk. Zisk, the DH. Batting fifth, playing in right field, number 16, Al Collins. Collins in right. Batting sixth, in center field, number 18, Joe Simpson. Simpson in center. Batting seventh at first base, number 33, Jim Mailer. Mailer at first. Batting eighth, catching, number 7, Jim Eschen. Eschen, the catcher, batting ninth, playing shortstop, number 21, Todd Cruz. Cruz at short, and pitching tonight for the Seattle Mariners will be left-hander number 19, Lloyd Bannister. I'll give you the Twins lineup right now. This is Frank Quillacy. Herb Carneal and I will be right back with the play-by-play of tonight's game.
In St. Paul, Minneapolis, clear to partly cloudy skies tonight, although it will start clouding up a lot after midnight tonight. The overnight low will be 18 degrees. And for tomorrow, that's when the snow will be coming our way. A winter storm watch for tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light snow mainly, according to our meteorologist, Mike Lynch, but 1 to 3 inches is generally expected. And the high tomorrow will be 35 degrees. Right now it's 25 degrees in Hibbing with clear skies, 24 in Bemidji where it's partly cloudy, and in St. Paul, Minneapolis, mostly clear and 30 degrees at 24 minutes before 8.
Hello again, everybody. We're just about ready to get underway in tonight's ball game. Let me give you the Minnesota Twins lineup for tonight's first game. Batting first and thrilled to death in center field.
Batting second, the designated hitter, number 32, Gary Ward. Ward, the DH. Batting third, playing in right field, number 20, Dave Engel. Engel in right. Batting cleanup for the Twins, playing shortstop, number 5, Roy Smalley. Smalley at short. Batting fifth at first base, number 14, Kent Herbeck. Herbeck at first. Batting sixth at third base, number 8, Gary Gaetti. Gaetti at third. Batting seventh, catching, number 16, Butch Weiniger. Weiniger catching. Batting eighth at second base, number 7, Rob Wilfong. Wilfong at second. And batting ninth, playing in left field, number 9, Mickey Hatcher. Hatcher in left. And pitching this evening for the Twins will be right-hander number 17, Pete Redfern. Redfern starting it out for the Twins. The umpires are signed by the American League for the night's game. Behind home plate, the veteran Bill Haller.
At first base, Jerry Neudecker. At second base, George Maloney. And at third base, Kenny Kaiser. Well, just about every seat now filled in the Metrodome. And Herb, this almost feels like a World Series instead of a first game.
Boy, it sure does. And I think it's great we could have a couple of days of rehearsal to get used to a lot of things here in this beautiful new ballpark. Those games with the Philadelphia Phillies, I think, have helped our players feel a lot more at home than just walking in your cold to start the season.
Oh, it sure has. And being a young ball club, I think it was great that they did have that opportunity to get a few of the butterflies out. I know walking around, wishing good luck to all of the players in the clubhouse before the ball game, you could see that feeling in them and the looks on their faces that they were just anxious to get it underway, and as anxious as we are. And right now, Julio Cruz has just stepped into the batter's box. So for the play-by-play, here's Herb Carneal.
All right, Frank, and hi again, everybody. Julio Cruz, the switch hitter, takes a strike. The first pitch of the 1982 season for Pete Redfern is in there for a called strike. Speedy Julio Cruz batted 256 for the Mariners last year. Here's the pitch by Redfern. A strike call at the knees of going two. No balls and two strikes. Veteran Bill Holler calling the balls and strikes here in the first of this three-game series. Pete Redfern takes the sign quickly into the windup, and the pitch is swung on and missed. He struck him out with a fastball on three pitches. Midwest Federal and WCC.